Hello and welcome to our podcast series created by us here at Broadsword called Be Listening. Today we are joined not by one, not by two, but three amazing guests. Jonathan Tester, Tarek Jordan, and Joe Barlow from Rada Business. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi everyone. Thank you for having us.
Hello.
Thank you. Thanks. Lovely to be here.
One by one, could you please introduce yourselves and your roles at Rada?
I'll kick off, yeah. I'm Jonathan Tester, Associate Director of Marketing at Rada Business. I've been with the business for about 2 years now, joined during the pandemic, so I've seen quite a bit of change since 2021, particularly warming back in our in-person work. So an exciting time.
Hi everyone, so I am Joe Bardo. I'm an Associate Director here at Rada Business, focusing mostly within our business development and client team. I've been with the organization now for just over 6 years, and part of my role is responsible in working directly with organizations and building the transformation programs that we deliver for them. So that's part of my role here at Rada Business.
And I am Tarek Jordan, and I am a practitioner here at Rada Business, as well as being a writer and an actor. I am a writer for theatre and TV. Currently, I've got an internationally touring production of The Jungle Book, which has been directed by the internationally celebrated dancer and choreographer Akram Khan. So that's currently doing its world tour. And as a practitioner for Rada Business, I work on Rada Business's leadership programs with multinational corporations.
Thank you so much for the introductions, and we'll just jump right into it. What is the concept behind Rada Business and the benefits businesses could have from this?
So Rada, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, is known around the globe for training in dramatic arts. An actor, I think, is a very powerful person. They have the ability to capture your attention, to make you feel, to move you, maybe even to plant a thought that will really stay with you for a long time afterwards. What Rada Business does is leverage all of those skills for the business arena. And we work with individuals and with businesses, either in person or virtually, here in the UK and around the world. And in various different capacities as well. So we have open courses for individuals. We have one-to-one coaching, but also bespoke programs that we can design specifically for a business to really meet their individual needs. And again, we work with a whole range of people. So those who are entering the workplace for the first time, all the way to the very top with seasoned CEOs.
Which program would you say is the most popular to book?
It's really interesting, actually. I think when I first started with the business 2 years ago, there was huge demand for presenting and personal impact programs, particularly in a virtual environment. One of our clients in the tech world, their sales team was really struggling to connect with prospective buyers. Effectively, you know, over Zoom, it just wasn't as exciting as it had been in person in the office. So we designed a program specifically for them so that all of their business development team could really, you know, create that excitement, that spark virtually. I think once restrictions and lockdowns lifted, though, we've seen a real shift towards leadership work. And in the last 6 months alone, actually, for our program for individuals, we've seen a 63% increase in hours delivered at that in that leadership sphere.
Performers on stage aren't the only ones who do public speaking. In a working environment, many of us do it. It can be in a meeting, on a webinar, or you might even find yourself on a podcast one day. What helps with speaking confidently, be it in a workplace, during a meeting, or contributing to a pitch?
The question of speaking confidently it's a huge question. And at Rada Business, we always say there's no one-size-fits-all approach. But what we do is we help you find the most authentic version of yourself. When it comes to confidence, one of the biggest elements that gets in the way of you exuding confidence is your mindset and how you see yourselves. And often we become a self-fulfilling prophecy of the way we see ourselves. We have to start thinking of our mind as a computer, and computers run off algorithms. Yeah. A lot of those algorithms have served us very well. And at the same time, there are many that did serve us that don't serve us anymore. The only way to get rid of an algorithm is to overwrite it. So if you replace that in terms of human form, those algorithms are habits. And what we have to do is we have to break habits that are not serving us anymore. But starting with the mindset, how many of us have stepped in front of an audience and the first thing that creeps into our mind is how we come across? Are we good enough? Are the audience seeing through our level of underpreparedness? Do we feel we have anything of value to offer? If we go in with all of these algorithms, that's a heavy weight that we're carrying. And what we need to do as public speakers who are sending an important message out to an audience is to step up with the algorithm of, I want to be here right now because I've got something of value to offer these people. There's an old African proverb that exists that says, if there's no enemy within, then the enemy outside can do you no harm. And really that sums up the elephant in the room that we're talking about here, which is stage fright. And that can be completely destroying to anyone exuding confidence in a space, on a stage. Because ultimately, as Jonathan and Joe were saying earlier, the job of the actor is not too dissimilar to the job of you as a human being. Whenever you are in front of another human being, your job is to send a message across and to make sure that message is understood and acted upon. So there's something about just reframing how you perceive yourself and also what is the value that you are bringing in into the space with you. One way that we look at this is breaking down what the audience are perceiving in the first place. And one way to do that, and especially for myself as a storyteller, is I like to look at the three stories that an audience are perceiving every time you are in front of them. And those three stories are your visual story. So everything that you are doing in terms of your nonverbal communication, whether it be eye contact, whether it be movement, whether it be gesture, posture, there is appearance. There's a whole story, facial expressions as well. There's a whole story that is giving over to an audience. The next story, the second of the three, is the vocal story. And that's how you sound. It's how you use pace, pitch, how you project your voice into a space. And then the third story is your verbal, and that's your content. So it's the presentation itself. It's also elements of story. Are you taking your audience into a story and then out of it again? And what we really want is we want all those three stories to be telling the same message, to be sending out the same signals. More often than not, they don't. And that's where the problem lies. So start to be aware of those three stories and what the audience are perceiving. And it just helps you break down the skill set, because this is a skill set after all. It's not something that is a God-given right that has been passed down from the universe to certain individuals and you either have it or you don't. It's purely learning. It's a skill set that with practice, those habits will become ingrained.
I think we've all had those types of moments when we're talking and we can see someone who isn't that engaged, and sometimes the anxiety and the panic sets in. It can be even more discouraging for speakers in meetings or events when they see someone in their audience that isn't engaged. Are there any techniques such as voice projection or a certain body language to be more engaging for audiences at events?
There are an abundance of techniques and ways of working. And we, at Rada Business, we break down the individual elements of body, breath, and voice, message, mindset, because each one needs its own weight. But there's an analogy that I like to use that kind of sums up the overarching theme. And it's the analogy of an archer. So more often than not, what we have is speakers stepping in front of an audience, whether that be one person or a group of people, and they just do a data dump. They dump a lot of data on the audience rather than landing thoughts. We need to get back to this idea of landing thoughts. And if you use this archer analogy, so first of all, an archer can't shoot an arrow by swaying from side to side. There's something about their connection to the earth, to the ground. And we work with this a lot in our work. We call it grounding. The second thing is an archer takes that arrow. Now, that arrow is the equivalent of your thought. Now, those arrows are exquisitely made. They are valuable. They're expensive. So an archer doesn't waste them. They don't shoot multiple arrows at the same time. They shoot one individual arrow. They load the arrow into the bow and they pull back that bow as far as they can. And that's the equivalent of you taking in breath. The more the archer pulls back the bow, the further the arrow will go, which is the equivalent of long, sustained, complex sentence structures. But also, the more you pull back the bow, the more you take in breath, the louder you will be, the more you will project your voice further into the space. And one thing that an archer doesn't do is they never take the eye off the target. And that's something that we need to be aware of. Eye contact is the bridge of our communication. It's the journey that our thought is traveling until finally thought lands. So start to reframe. You're not just talking at an audience, you're landing thoughts. Rather than you thinking, I am going in there to deliver a monologue, there's a dialogue that's taking place. Yes, you are the one speaking mainly, but your audience is still communicating with you through silence. And another thing that it really helps along the way is pacing. Because when we're nervous, our instinct is to speed up because we go into this fight or flight response. So if we speed up, we can leave quicker. We need to work against that. When you slow down your speaking pace and take a pause when you get to a full stop, then you'll find that everything else starts to relax.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but surprisingly, the fear of public speaking ranks in the number one spot of all fears. And get this, it's even higher than the fear of death. How can you reduce your nerves before speaking and avoid that rambling? And have either of you guys felt nervous while speaking before?
Even as an actor, you feel nerves before stepping on stage. And there's something about welcoming nerves because they are an indication that you care about the thing that you're stepping into, the arena that you're stepping into. If you don't feel nerves, then there's an element of, is this really something that you desire? So nerves are not something that is necessarily a negative. And when we look at nerves as well, there are two types that exist. So we have stress. And you can look at the two elements of stress. So the first one is eustress. So eustress is the stress that you get before you enter a competition. So it's what athletes will feel. It's the stress that you will have when you are about to complete a test or go for an important exam. That type of stress, eustress, is useful because there's a chemical change, a chemical shift within your body that is setting you up for success. You have a heightened sense of awareness. The stress that we want to avoid is distress. Now, distress is the one that essentially prepares us to either fight or flee. Now, when we're when we are feeling distressed, what happens to us? Well, our breathing becomes shallow. So we don't take as much oxygen as our lungs, as our lung capacity can accept. We start to sweat, our blood pressure rises, our heart pounds, our heart beats faster. So we need to try and reverse that. And that starts with grounding and breathing. So grounding, our connection to the floor, and this is, we do a lot of work on this at RADA Business, our connection to the earth, and then also our breathing. Taking in fuller breaths, because we know that without oxygen, we can't exist. So the way to calm ourselves down is to get more oxygen into our body, as well as working on the mindset of, okay, why am I here? What value am I bringing into this space right now? And these are things, as well as working on vocal technique in terms of your vocal dynamics and an awareness of your body language and how you can shape shift that depending on the situation. All of this will eventually come together, but it all starts with your connection to the earth and the air that you're taking in.
Some people freeze up if a question comes up that they haven't prepared for or don't really know the answer to it. Do you have any advice on how to deal with those unexpected questions?
Yeah, this is one that always comes up because it's impromptu speaking. And impromptu speaking is one of the most difficult areas to navigate around. One of the issues with impromptu speaking when you are asked a question is the majority of the time you don't fully understand what the question is. And that's something that you need to be aware of and ask for clarity if that's the case. Because rather than simply asking, could the question be repeated, or you reframing the question in a sense of, are you asking me this? Or so you take ownership of the question. What happens is you have this, what we call an amygdala hijack. So the part of the brain that's responsible for logic and reasoning, suddenly it's hijacked by thoughts of you feeling not that you are not good enough, that you've not understood the question. A lot of the time, people are not asking questions. They are really just saying statements that they think is a question. So it's important for you to be a bit of a detective and clearly define what is the question that is being asked of you. Now, in that time, you have to pause and breathe because, again, oxygen is the fuel that keeps every cell in your body alive and also feeds your brain. So we need that. Another element to questions that you're unprepared for is try and welcome them. And we often call this the yes and approach. So even if you perceive a question as being a challenge, and more often than not we do, someone asks us a question and our whole identity feels like we feel like we're being challenged on everything. Welcome the question. Just reframe it in your mind as something that you will enjoy offering over the answer to. Because you know the answer, you will have something of value to offer. And then the last thing I just say is it's okay not to always have the answers that to questions that may be asked of you. If you don't have the answer, then allow yourself to say that. One thing that questioners want is they just want you to take ownership and accountability. And if you can show that, then that definitely keeps your status up in the room and you come across as authentic, confident, and someone who holds himself as extremely well in a space.
From our side, we've seen an increase in our clients' investment in their people, from graduate level to senior leadership. Have you found this, and what do you think the reason is behind it?
So I think part of my role here particularly is that I have the pleasure of working with quite an array of many different clients in many different industries, not only just in the UK, but across the world as well. And I think part of what makes our approach so unique is that the work that we do is ultimately driven by the organizational needs that they are facing. And really, how do we build the capability for them to adapt to change? And I think that particularly where we've seen a lot of investment around has been, how do they prepare and build capability for their people to respond to change? Now, I think if you take the last 3 years alone, the sort of change that we've gone through, not only in this country, but across the world, as a result of the pandemic, but then also changing to working practices and a lot of the different economic challenges posed to businesses currently. The real investment that we've seen from organizations is to how do we prepare and build our people, build capabilities in our people in order to face that change head on. And I think certainly the shifts that I've seen amongst our clients over the last couple of years has been this real move away from building those capabilities and very short, sharp interventions. So let's send you on a one-day training course and that kind of job is done. Very much moving to a world where capability development isn't built overnight and organizational change isn't solved overnight as well. And so I think there's been a real shift amongst our clients and what I've seen across the industry into recognizing that that change takes time. And ultimately, that requires an investment in your people as well. So from our perspective, I think that's a really welcome aspect to changing perceptions on how to effectively embed change and build capabilities across an organization.
As we have come to the end of the episode, is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
As a final thought as well, just something that I want to offer over is we communicate through stories. As a species, and stories are a currency. They're the currency of humanity. We place values on the stories that we receive, and then if that's a high value that we place on it, the listener is more likely to offer over something of equal value. So stories become a currency, but it's not monetary. And this is why it's so important to work on yourselves as the storyteller, because a great story can cease to exist if it's not told in the right way. And that's really the work that we do. We break up the storyteller and the story. We work on them individually, and then we bring them back together again.
I think from my perspective is that the work that we do, although we've got kind of a set sort of style, it's very much a unique approach. And I think, as I was saying, the sort of approach that we take is all about building individuals and changing organizations as a result. And so the sort of breadth that we do is ultimately dependent on what an individual and organization needs. And that's very much our approach to it.
And how can people find you?
You can find us online at radabusiness.com, and we're on LinkedIn as well, also Rada Business.
Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today and sharing all your tips with us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you so much.
If you would like to see similar content to this, you can follow us on our socials at Broadsword Event House on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and TikTok, and Broadsword Group on Twitter. Or visit our website at wearebroadsword.com. Thank you for listening, and hope to see you on the next one. Bye!